What if everything we've been taught about love is fundamentally wrong? While we chase the thrill of finding the one, Jay Shetty offers a revolutionary perspective. Love isn't something we discover, but something we practice daily. Drawing from 16 years studying ancient Hindu wisdom and coaching countless relationships, Shetty reveals that true love resembles tending a garden rather than plucking a flower for momentary enjoyment. This insight transforms our approach from passive searching to active cultivation. Why does this matter? Because when we view love as a skill rather than luck, we gain agency over our romantic lives. The most fulfilling relationships don't happen by chance. They develop through intentional practice across four distinct stages, each representing a different classroom for mastering love. This perspective shift has sparked a movement of people approaching relationships with greater mindfulness and purpose, creating connections that nurture rather than deplete them. Our culture equates solitude with failure, driving many to stay in unfulfilling relationships. Yet there's a vital distinction between loneliness and solitude. The former diminishes while the latter enriches. Studies show people experience life more intensely alone. Museum-goers displayed stronger emotional responses to art without companions. The path to productive solitude progresses through presence, awareness of feelings, discomfort, facing thoughts directly, and confidence, self-appreciation without external validation. This foundation develops qualities essential for meaningful relationships and helps achieve one mind, the ability to see yourself clearly and become whole, rather than seeking completion in others. We unconsciously recreate past experiences through current relationships, a karmic pattern of cause and effect where present choices shape future experiences. Our parents provide our first relationship template, creating impressions, samskaras, that influence expectations, while media further molds these from early childhood. In relationships, we typically embody one of three roles: the fixer, over-responsible for partner's happiness; the dependent, overly reliant on partner; or the supporter, equal partnership. What we project attracts corresponding energy. Our authentic self draws genuine connections, while personas attract superficial ones. True relationships should stem from wholeness, not compensate for past wounds or insecurities. Love evolves through four distinct phases beyond simple "I love you" declarations. Phase 1, attraction, is driven by brain chemistry. Dopamine creates reward feelings, norepinephrine triggers euphoria, and dropping serotonin levels fuel passion. While intoxicating, this chemistry shouldn't be confused with complete love, much like an online furniture purchase that disappoints in person. Phase 2 transforms attraction into future dreams, though these fantasies can obscure reality and our true needs. The key is building sustainable routines rather than chasing illusions. In Phase 3, couples face differences and must decide whether to work through them, from minor annoyances to major compatibility issues. Phase 4 establishes trust across physical, feeling safe, mental, respecting decisions, and emotional, believing in character. When fully developed, this trust makes partners each other's primary confidant in both good times and bad. Our romantic partners are uniquely positioned as our greatest teachers, observing us across all contexts and situations. This creates a mutual learning environment where both people simultaneously teach and learn. We grow through shared experiences, their expertise, and by observing both their behavior and our reactions. To be an effective guru partner, focus on serving rather than leading. Like Radhadath Swami bowing to his student, or Zen Master Suzuki joining in cleaning. True teachers guide through example. Frame feedback constructively. Instead of "you're sloppy with laundry," try "could we fold clothes right away to prevent wrinkles?" Maintain Shoshin, beginner's mind, staying open and curious while preserving your individuality, even as you naturally adopt some of each other's traits. What if pursuing your individual purpose actually strengthens your relationship? When you follow your dharma, the intersection of passion, expertise, and service, you bring your best self to your partner. Research confirms this wisdom. Those with a strong sense of purpose show better immune function and more stable self-esteem than those pursuing mere pleasure. When both partners prioritize their individual purposes, they create three healthy relationships: yours with your purpose, your partner's with their purpose, and yours with each other. Purpose isn't selfish, it's essential. Like Buddha's story of the acrobats who perform best when each focuses on their own balance, couples thrive when both pursue their individual dharmas. Finding your purpose requires identifying your passions and strengths, whether you're an organizer, energizer, empathizer, or analyzer. Supporting your partner's purpose is a sacred commitment. In traditional Vedic weddings, couples vow to persevere in the path of Dharma together. When both partners pursue their purposes, managing time becomes challenging. Four strategies exist: pursuing purposes after hours while maintaining financial stability, prioritizing one person's purpose temporarily, taking turns focusing on each person's purpose, or going all in on both purposes simultaneously, which requires careful time management and meaningful connection when together. Contrary to popular belief, conflict-free relationships aren't ideal. All couples fight, or should. The key insight is reframing fights. Your partner isn't the enemy, the problem is. When couples face issues as a team rather than adversaries, both win when the problem loses. There are three types of arguments: pointless arguments, from ignorance, power arguments, from ego, and productive arguments, using reason and love. To have productive arguments, remove your ego from the equation. When we approach conflicts convinced we're right, our tone reveals our inflexibility. The goal shouldn't be to win, but to understand. Just as we have different love languages, we have different fight styles. Venting, solution-oriented talkers who need to express everything; hiding, those who need space to process; and exploding, those who erupt with emotion. When conflict arises, the peace approach helps. Place and time, schedule discussions rather than erupting; expression, share feelings rather than accusations; anger management, commitment, and evolution. Choose words carefully. They can't be unsaid. Replace you statements with we language and use I feel statements to describe emotions. Resolution requires proper apology through acceptance, feeling true regret, articulation, clearly communicating understanding, and action, following through on promises. True love extends beyond romantic partnerships to embrace all. While partnership provides practice, the ultimate goal is broader connection. Research on pro-social behavior and the helper's high confirms the benefits of selfless service. We expand our circle by loving those close to us through understanding, belief in their potential, acceptance, and appreciation. With difficult people, we need a radius of respect. As Russell Barkley observed with children, those needing love most often ask for it unlovingly. Robin Dunbar's research suggests our brains manage about 150 meaningful relationships, arranged in circles from intimate to casual. The workplace, where we spend considerable time, presents unique challenges for expressing love. Even with strangers, small gestures like smiling create connection. Research shows being acknowledged improves mood through neurotransmitter release. By practicing love broadly, we transform relationships from validation-seeking to opportunities for growth and service, creating far-reaching positive effects.